And I'm not going to preach tonight. I know you wish I would, but I'm not. But I thought we'd just take, you know, I love times like this because this is, you're here, we're family, and tonight gives a little thought about being together. I'll be honest with you, my mother and dad is going to be the Lord now, and probably my church family is closer to me than any part of my other family, because if nothing for other reason, we're together more than I'm with my other family. I'm here on Sunday, every Sunday, and my wife and family has been that for years, and so our families have days off, and they meet on Sundays, and so therefore we never ever see them. They have to work, I know, and so they have their things on Sunday. Well, Sunday's a big day for us, and so we thank the Lord for having family to meet with us, and this time is a time to reminisce just a little bit. And if you would, I just want to thank, I have some wonderful thoughts. I love to come out here once in a while and just walk across this property and remember those early days. I think so much back that we know when Barbara and I came over here and rode up down the streets in the town and really prayed for the Lord where he wanted us to come. And a lot of folks know very little about this, except a little bit's in the history of the church. And we found that we decided it was this place rather than Dunn, nor Ohio, where the little church was at. And they were looking at a pastor. And we felt the Lord would call us to go somewhere where there's not a fundamental Pentecostal church at all. And we began to look and pray. And I don't, you know, you think that God would just spend, if you're sold out that way, just open the door. Just open the door. First place we came to, we stopped and asked a little place out here on the four lane. It was not open, but it was just a bit about finished, bypassed around. And there's an open air market that was there, and they built beside of it another open air market, and that building is for rent. And so I went and knocked on the door and talked to the lady. She was real nice. Told her who I was. Oh, yeah, she says it's for rent. I said, I'm going to be honest up front. We want to start a fundamental Independent Baptist mission here, and then we hope to be, oh, can't do that, she said. She was real kind. I said, may I ask why? She said, it's simply this. My business is right next to this, and if we had church here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, it probably hurt my business. Well, I very graciously said, well, thank you, and we began to ride and ride and ride and never could find a place. Then one Saturday afternoon again, we were down just praying over what the Lord would have us to do, and we met David Satterfield across from JB's Barbershop. And, of course, the story goes there. Told him what we was here for. He had the dry cleaning building. It had been empty about 3 years, and it was filthy as no telling what. Nothing, of course, it had just been there, nothing in it. And then we think about how he opened it up and said, well, I don't have any other reason to sell it to rent it to anybody else. I said, if that's what you want and you want it, we'll let you have it. And he told me, let's have $75 a month. Then I said, Mr. Satterfield, you don't know, but there is no church, and now we have no members. And we want to open a mission, and then we want to start knocking on doors for that. And I don't know if we'd have $75 up front. I'll tell you, we will pay what we can. And that fella, God's in things at times, in most precious people. He said, Reverend Ince, I'll tell you what then. He said, I'll charge $75 a month for it. And if you can't pay it, pay what you can, and I'll donate the rest up to the mission. Amen. Man, I told, left our tears in my eyes, told my wife what had happened, and so forth. And so we did that, and 3 months later, we were paying every month what the $75 was. And then I remember, she remembers the first day, we came here in August, and from August to May, of the next, August 67 to May 68, is when the church was organized. And we came here after that, because we got in, fixed the building up, put a sign outside. By that time, it's in the winter months, and first time we started down the street on Main Street, I remember on Saturday afternoon, there was snow on the ground. It snowed, and it wasn't real deep. If it had, we wouldn't have been down to the street, but we did go down and start knocking on doors. And from there, well, now here we are. This August will be 50 years later. God has been great. God's been good. He's given us some good people, and I talked this morning about the number of people been here so many years, down through the years, and sent here, and God has used them through the years, and each one of you that's here at this particular time. And we have so many things. I remember when we got to battle the been on the radio. God opened the radio for us to be on the station in Garner, and then we taped it and played it back the next Sunday afternoon at 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock. And then, remember, we got into a battle of the fact that they thought we under, that the ministerial group in Clayton thought that we actually went under them to get the radio, and we didn't even have nothing to do with it. They came to us because we already had a radio station and went through the battle of that and how that took place. Well, there's a lot of things about the history that we could say, and God has brought us through it all. And our hands came clean there. As a matter of fact, what happened was they ended up, the FCC actually run a test on us and evaluates what we had did. We never had signed a contract with the owners of the WHPR radio station. And because we had never signed a contract, and because when they gave us the deal that we could have the radio station for a certain amount of money a month, and then they would pay the line fee to our church to have a live broadcast at 11 o'clock. And so when they did that, the FCC found out that if they did that, they'd have to run a line to every church in Clayton if they wanted a radio station. And so therefore, they came back and asked us what we would do. And I said, well, that particular case, I guess we have to pay the line fee. And the line fee was $25 a month at that time. I bet it'd be $100 a month now. $25 a month at that time. And I said, well, I'm sure our church will. I'll meet with them. But then the process, before we had a chance to meet, the managers called me and said, what we want to do, since you have a live broadcast now from the auditorium, we want to set up so you have a live broadcast every day through the week, Monday through Friday, at 10 o'clock or between 9 and 10, sometime another time, I think it was set a little after 9, that you can broadcast direct from your office. And so that's what they did. We did that for 27 years. So they gave us an extra 10 minutes a day for 50 minutes a week for that extra $25 a month. So there's a lot of things. You see why our hearts are like it is. We have great refreshing memories of things that took place. And I don't know how many hundred souls have been saved, but I thank God for every one that's been saved. And what I'd like to do tonight for just a moment is go back and for you being here. I thank you for being here. You don't know how much I appreciate the fact that you're a member of the church, and even though you knew it was going to be just a little simple thing tonight, you came, and that's a blessing to a pastor who's been as long as I know my days are numbered. But ladies and gentlemen, it's been a tremendous trip. Only God knows the hours that Barbara and I spent in prayer in those years. And we pray for things today we never pray for now. Back then, we prayed for things we don't have to pray for now because God supplies those things. But there's some things in that day that we prayed for on a daily basis. And God answered those prayers just by the time we prayed. And we documented those things. We know exactly when it was, what happened, took place. Some of those people are going to be the Lord, that God touched their heart the very moment when we was praying on Grove Street when we moved in there at that time. So what I'd like to do is go back and start with 10-year brackets, and like we have done in the past, and if God led you our way and became a member of our church during that particular time, stand. And let's just see he's here. Variety of people that's here when you actually came in. Now, back in 1967 to 1968, and so we'll just say from 67, actually, we came to church in 1968. And so 1967, Barbara, my family was here, and some others came, but we didn't have membership. But if you became a member from 1968 to 1970, would you stand if you're here tonight? You became a member 1968 to 1970. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. And then how about those who might be from 1971 to 1980? Would you stand? From 1971 to 1980. Amen. Thank God. Thank you so much. You may be seated. For those who have 1981 to 1990, you became a member of 1981 to 1990. Amen. Amen. Every year God has blessed us. Okay, thank you. You may be seated. How about those from 1991 to 2000? No, wait, yeah. Did I go 90? Yeah. I got 1981 to 90. That's where I just had one. Okay, and this is 1991 to 2000. That was a good year then. You know, a number of those. What amazes me to go back and see people that have gone on to be the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. It'd be so I ever seen. And I go back and I counted here the other day. I was just going back in my mind and counted about 25 people that I remember were leaders in our church who have died. And go back, and I don't know how many, if we'd go back and count, that was members of the church that here until they moved away, job otherwise, but now going on to be with the Lord. How about those of 2001, 2010, if you remember that time? Okay? Amen. Amen. All right, thank you so much. You may be seated. And then those for 2011 to now, 2017. How about that? 2011 to 2017. Isn't that great? Thank you so much. You may be seated. And you see, and when you happen and see the members we've had through the years, and though God has took a lot of them home, I'm glad to say that many members who was with us through the years moved with jobs. And every once in a while, my wife was talking about a family the other day. I'll never forget them. They were with us a number of years ago. I love God. He worked at his job. He thought he was going to be in Raleigh a good job, and they sold out and ended up having to move to another state. And I will never forget the times that he'd come back on the job here in the Raleigh area, and he'd always call me and come by and sit down and talk with me. And his first question was always asked me when he'd see me, "A preacher, is the church looking after you?" He was concerned. Even though he was gone, "Is the church looking at you?" And I said, "My brother, yes, they are." He said, "We're glad. I just want to be sure the church is still looking after you." Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes you feel good when you got a job, know that they're looking after you like that. And so we've had a number of people have done that, and families now who've gone on to be the Lord, husband and wives. But I wonder tonight if they just for a moment, before we dismiss, somebody would like to just stand and give a testimony about God in your life in the last years you've been here. Anyone like that at all? God said, "Let the redeemer of say so." Anyone like that at all? Give a testimony you got saved, or give a testimony of something God has done for you since you've been here. I know he's done something for all of us. I could fill up the rest of the night, but I won't. Because I have a lot of members. Anyone have some members in the past that came to you about that have been since you've been a member of the church at all? At all? No members at all? No thoughts at all? No remarks?
I've got memories
last week. Okay, sister.
You know, when they were 4 and the fun we had, and now there's some of them 16, 18, they're graduating. It's been great.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's the thing about what Barbara and I think about. We're meeting people now who have their children are grown, asking, how would it be? They came to our academy. Their children now are grown and have children, and asking about their kids coming to the academy. We don't have it now. We get calls like that. They remember that. Someone else quickly like to say something? Yes, sister.
This has definitely been a part of my life for a long time. And when we moved here, I was in an independent Baptist church. And I had gone to a couple of other churches, and I didn't feel like, you know, I just didn't feel like they were right for me. And when I walked down in that laundry building,
amen.
That was it.
Amen.
The next Sunday I joined, and it's really been a big part of my life, the time I've been lived here.
Amen, sister. And that's some things sear in your mind. And that morning in the mission building, Barbara and I were looking out, and we saw Sister Barbara Jones and two little girls walking down the street. And both of them, all of them had little dresses on. And I see that today is 50 years ago. I see it as plain as it was 50 years ago. And I believe they were the only ones in our service that morning. If I'm not coming, we might have had another family. The Penny family, I think, was there. Yeah. And Smith family had started coming at that time. Sure had. Thank you, sister. One more. Somebody else like to say something? Yes, sister.
Family and help
Amen.
And so we're there for each other through dark times, hard times, and through joyous times. You know, we've laughed together, we've cried together, we've bared each other's burdens together, we've prayed together,
Amen.
We've stayed together, and that's what means so much to me and our family, is that we know that this church, by the love,
Amen.
is the love of Christ, and that's what the world sees, and we just really appreciate and thank God for every one of you every day.
Amen. Thank you, Sister. You go back and you think, and there's so many times that I've seen, some of the things that God has allowed me to be involved in at the time you wouldn't even believe in, calls at night. I will never forget that we had a member of our church whose mother was a Jehovah's Witness. And Absalom was bound right after we moved out of the dry cleaning building. They lived in Wilson. And they both called me one night, so burdened about their not being saved, they tried to win her to the Lord and couldn't win her to the Lord. And so they asked me to go see her, and I went to see her because she was real sick. And I began to talk to her about the Lord, and she was very hostile to me. And she had a lot of things to say. And so I told her, I said, I think she was a Smith, wasn't she, Mother? I believe she was. I can't remember her name right now, but I think she was a Smith. And I told her, I said, well, don't think about it. I drove a long way from Clayton to come over here to see you, because I was asked by the family, and I would really love to give you the plan of salvation, but I'm not going to do it unless you want me to. And then bothered, she just, no, she was very hostile. So I said, could I have prayer with you? And so she let me have prayer, and I had prayer, and I left. And it must have been a couple weeks, or it might have been like a month later. I got a call another one night, and this son said, preacher, please come. I said, why? It's my mother. And I said, but, you know, I've already talked to her. I've already traveled all the way to Wilson again. He said, but she's asking for you. I said, why? He said, I don't know if she's asking for you. And she keeps telling me, and here's what she said. She said that she had someone to come to the foot of her bed and said, you call that man, in her mind, where she dreamed of what? I don't care. That's what they said. You call him. And so they did, and I went. And I went through the plan of salvation and led that lady to the Lord. I'll never forget that. And I was thinking to her, I said, man, the difference, God had her heart. And I had no trouble with her. She was not hostile at all. She asked Christ to come into her heart. And then I told her, Mrs. Smith, if I would say that, listen, I want to read you now where God says you're going to go, because she was real sick. And I went over and read in the book of Revelation, to heaven, where it would be our home. And I said, yes, we're going to be our home. And one of the last things I have seared in my mind, when I left that night, before I had prayer, when I said, that's going to be our home, a great smile came over my face. And I said, aren't you glad now you know the Lord? And a great smile came over my face. Never, it seared there, came over my face. And she said, yes, I am. And I had prayer with her. And I think it was about 2 or 3 days later, she died. Strange. I'd be glad to get to heaven and find out what all that's about. But I didn't hesitate to go the second time after I found out somebody had gone to her foot of bed and said, maybe she dreamed, I don't know, whatever it is, I'm glad she did, because she did receive Christ that night as her Savior. See, only God can change people's hearts. You and I have to be there available. And you may have to tell something 2 or 3 times, but if they have the chance to listen, we got to tell them. If they won't listen, I don't have to tell them. We don't have to tell them. But if they listen, we have to tell them. And I think again, another night, over here on Starling Street, these people are not even members of our church. There was a fellow over there. I got a call one night, my wife, a member. And they wanted to go over there because their dad was fixing to die. And I went in the back room. He's laying on a cot. And as I went back there, they were all weeping. He was so bad off. And I talked to him, and he couldn't respond. They said, but I know he hears you. And I said, well, listen, I forget what his name was now offhand. I'm bad forgetting names anyhow. But I called his name. I said, sir, I want you to do something for me. You're at the point of death. And I have good news for you, but I can't say anything. It don't mean anything if you don't hear it. I want you to do 2 things for me. I want you to blink your eyes if you hear me. And he blinked his eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, there's things I could, man alive. If I get on these things, some people say, well, he's just, no. God knows, to God be the glory. But when you have time to come in those days, we had to depend upon the Lord. We have to now. But he's blessed us so much, and not like it was then. And so I said, well, I'm going to go through the Romans Road. And what I want you to do is this. If you are going to listen to what I say, blink your eyes twice. And he did. And then I said, if you don't want to hear what I've got to say, blink your eyes one time. And so I said, yes, twice, yeah, and no, one time. And he did that. And I went through the plan of salvation. I said, do you understand what I read? He blinked his eyes twice. And I said, well, listen, would you receive Christ as your Savior right now? He blinked his eyes twice. And so I led in a prayer, and then I asked him, did he say that to himself? And he blinked his eyes twice. And we were sitting there, and I had prayer with him and sat beside the bed a little bit with him. I went back into the room that we were just in the back room ourselves where the family was at, and I went back into the room and told him that far as I knew, best I could see, I believe he trusted Christ his Savior. And they rejoiced over it, but they didn't really understand it. They thought it was so far gone. Well, I went back in there and sat down beside of him, and all of a sudden, he drew his last breath. And I got up, went back in with the family, and I said, well, he's going, oh, no, no, it can't be. They weren't expecting it. And he did. He died right there. And I kind of calmed him down a little bit, and they called the coroner. And when he came, of course, pronounced him dead. But the thing about it is, now they were so glad. As far as I'm concerned, ladies and gentlemen, he answered the questions right, even though he couldn't talk. And I believe there's a time when sometimes people who write the point of death has a chance, but I wouldn't wait that long. You may not have that chance. The thief on the cross did, but you don't find anybody else in the scripture that close by. So therefore, it pays us to do it at the very moment. That's just a couple of stories. One more person would like to say something. Yes, sister.
I got saved when I was 1965, and I knew I should be looking for a church because I got saved during a revival, and I was going to a church, but I just didn't feel God was in it. And I wandered for several years trying to find the right church. I went to Midway, I went to Hilltop, and I could not find a church that I really felt like that's where God wanted me.
Amen.
And so one night, on a Thursday night, someone knocked on my door. Said, I would like to invite you to Fellowship Baptist Church. I said, really, where is it at? And he says, on Main Street and the dry cleaner's building. I said, dry cleaner building? And he said, yes. He says, it's a mission that we have started. I said, okay, well, I'll try it. So I did. I went that Sunday morning, and it was like God spoke to me. He said, Lord, this is it.
Amen.
And so I come back Sunday night, and I came back Wednesday night, and I joined, and then I started going on visitation. And I remember things that you said when I was young, that you said, an active Christian is a happy Christian. Mm-hmm. I got busy and I started living for the Lord.
Amen.
And of course, God don't promise us that everything's going to be great. But He did promise us a rose garden, but there's thorns in those rose gardens.
Amen.
And you have to be careful with them and pray God to help you through and not get stuck by the thorns.
Amen.
And also, I remember you telling me, memorize God's word while you're young, because when you get old, you won't be able to. A true, true saint. Because I did. I memorized as many verses that I could. And now that I'm old, I try to think, if I have memorized a verse, I've got it. And the next day, I done forgot.
Yeah.
So those verses that I learned when I was young, I got them in my heart.
Amen.
And so I tell the kids in junior church, memorize these verses now, because later on in life you might not be able to. And you have God's word hid in your heart. And I'll never forget you saying that one day our Bible may be taken from us, but we will have God's word in our hearts.
Amen.
And I would like to say that I know this is the church God intended for me to be at.
Amen.
I love everybody with all my heart. And I love the Lord with all my heart. And
amen.
I fail him so many times, but I try to live him. I also remember you making comments saying, your life may not be godly all the time, but your overall pattern of life, if it shows Christ in it, then you, that's a sign that tells you that you know you are
amen.
A Christian. And that helps me a whole lot, because sometimes, you know, you get down and out, but yet then you think back about, you know God is in things, and you look back and think about things, how God, and those first few years, I can't tell you what they meant to me, because the first 6 months, because now I had gone to other churches, but I hadn't really grown a lot, but those first 6 months under your ministry, I learned more in those first 6 months than I did in the whole past 3 years.
Amen.
And I have been growing ever since. And not that I know a whole lot about the Bible, but I know a whole lot more than I did when I was a young girl.
Yes.
And I have grown a lot in the Lord.
Amen. This has Lord been faithful ever since, still doing what she did in those days, and what a joy that is. And one thing about learning the scriptures is this: you may forget, but you got to keep in mind the Holy Spirit helped you learn them. And so what happened, you may can't recollect and pull up as you get older, because there's things you forget. And I'm in that category right now, bad. But I'll tell you this, the Holy Spirit can give you some that you learned when you need it. And it happened. You something comes to your mind, all of a sudden you're faced with something, and the Holy Spirit will bring that up. You may not be able to quote it exactly, but you'll be able to find it, because it rests in your heart, and you learn it when you were growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And it's a tremendous thing to know the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to help us in those circumstances that we get into. And by the way, you can't serve God without running circumstances. Satan's going to see to that. All right? Well, we appreciate being here tonight. Thank God for each one of you. I want you to go over and let's have some fellowship together. Stand if you would, as we have prayer. If you will, take everything with you so the men in here can lock up everything and not have to come back. And I hope you have a great week this week. Thank you for these 49 years God has given us. One more will be 50 years. And this August, of course, Barbara and I will be here 50 years in August. That's just a few months from now. And I was thinking the other day, it's hard to believe. She and I give 100 years of our life together. That's a long time. And neither did we think when we came. The only thing we knew is this, that somehow or another, God had laid something on our heart we couldn't shake. It could not be shook. And there's times when you get in that situation, you try your best to shake it, but you can't. And then we found out where God wanted us to be through prayer, and over here many times praying. And then what really sealed it, you heard us talk about years ago after we organized, and some of the men that were here at that time, we had an old Volkswagen bus, and we come together on a visitation night, and I think we had about 15 men, or 14 or 15 men at that time, and we said, look, let's do something we've never done before. We know God has sent us here. People won't understand this. They may mock it, make fun, fine. But let's draw straws, and the one who gets the shortest straw will be the bus driver. And then the rest of us get on our knees in this Volkswagen, and they'll drive up and down the streets in the town of Clayton, and we'll pray and ask God to help us reach this town for the Lord. And we did that fifth station that night. It was probably at least an hour and a half, rode up down the streets, and we were praying. And you can talk to some of those men back then, and they still remember that. They said they never got over it, what happened at that time. So there's a lot of prayer been done through the years in ways to try not to show that we were so religious. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have to witness you for God to know that I'm saved. But you have to be witnessed too, and I have to tell you, because he knows I'm saved. And the only way you'll know it is to see the works that comes from this body. And that first thing is try to win people to the Lord. I believe if you're born again, the first thing God gives you is a desire to reach someone for the Lord, because that's the reproduction process. I don't have to do a thing to tell God that I'm saved, but I'll tell you this, I have to do what he says do after I'm saved, that others may know that we're the ambassadors. We may be weak at times, but we're the men and women that God has chosen. Amazing that God himself not only saved us, but chose us to be the vessel that we might try to reach people for Christ. And the only thing we have is the blessed gospel of this book. And so, again, thank you for the night. Let's pray to Father. Lord, I thank you of this book. I'm so grateful. I live at a time that when I got saved, the emphasis of this book was so great. And not being, my teeth was cut upon this. And I always had to go to the source. And I'm so glad that you said that the Holy Spirit would given Jesus when he was here. And when he comes, he'll be given to us. And when he comes, he'll teach us all things. Those all things are found in this book. And this is the book that he inspired to be written. It doesn't mean that every time we study it, we got it all together. It doesn't mean that when we get saved, all of a sudden we know everything. But we know we're gradual creatures that grow gradually. And we know the Holy Spirit uses to train us and teach us gradually. And if we've been saved periods of years, we still don't know it all. But we want to know more, and we know when we got saved. And our desire to serve thee should be greater. And Father, I pray again tonight, as this fellowship we have on the 49th birthday of our church, that it'll be a sweet fellowship tonight. There'll be a memories that people will have as we had here tonight. Maybe someone liked to stood and said something but didn't. But Lord, I thank you for the members that we have together as a family. And one day we get on the other side and we walk down that street of gold and we go to the throne of God and we see the reality of things that we've looked at by faith. What a joy it's going to be to know then, as we look back now, everything that we didn't know while we were here, we'll know then. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you for living with us day by day, directing us, guiding us. Thank you for the Word of God that's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And Holy Spirit, help us. Please help us be surrendered to you so we might do what you have come to do through us to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and to glorify the Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray, as we ask you to bless our freshmen who go over this tonight at gym, bless them to the nursery of our bodies, in turn that we might glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.